Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another Unraveling episode, where I invite on amazing and inspiring entrepreneurs, and I ask them to keep it real and share about the messy growth that got them to where they are today. This is the unraveling of old habits and limiting beliefs that hold us back and the rebirth of new. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I thank you for listening to episode 190 of the Weddings for Real podcast. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert! It takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings for real. Today's guest is Kristen Mullins, aka the Pie Lady. She's the owner of Slice Pie Company based in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as a pie enthusiast and longtime supporter of this business, I can tell you that Slice is the best pie I've ever tasted. And even if you're not in North Carolina, did you know you can ship yourself a pie from Slice? You owe it to yourself, and I give you permission. You've earned it. My favorite is the cherry with a second of the chocolate chess, but you can't go wrong with any flavor. Now, one of the reasons that Slice creates standout pies is because it's a family business.
It started because I'm slightly crazy and I had this idea and I somehow convinced my father and family members to jump on board. But the idea was even before I existed. So like it started with family members and the women on my dad's side of the family. Then my dad, who I grew up watching him bake every single day, every day. We're not talking just Saturday.
Just as a fun hobby.
Breakfast was homemade every day, and it homemade biscuits, homemade waffles, homemade pie, and that's just what I grew up around, and I really just thought that's how everyone grew up.
Kristen and her dad introduced Slice back in 2014, and what started out as a fun posting on Facebook, selling at the state fair, and delivering the occasional pies to friends has now turned into a business where she's selling hundreds of pies each and every day out of her retail shop in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. With the success, it was time for Kristen's dad to start taking a step backwards towards retirement, and that's one of the events that brought on Kristen's unraveling.
I think it happened later for me in the business, roughly a year ago.
Ooh, tell me more.
Sounds so exciting, but it's terrible. I think for me, it felt easier than it should have felt being in the space that we were in. Mm-hmm. I was probably coddled a little more than I'd like to admit by my parents, mm-hmm. which I am so grateful for, but I wish they let me fall a little harder.
Yeah.
And I'm so fortunate to have had that. Up until that point where my parents were like, okay, you need to fly now. Mm-hmm. And when we signed the lease for the building is when everything, it hit the fan.
Yeah.
Where they started to say, you need to fly. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a step back. And then little by little, everything started to fall apart.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much they were helping me until it was no longer there every single day. And I didn't realize how much I should have been stepping up until they weren't there every single day. And it was the worst and best thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
I have grown more in this last year than I think ever. Emotionally, from a business perspective, I've never been so torn and emotionally just burned out, physically, mentally, everything, because all of a sudden I was being forced to make very solid decisions, scary decisions, big money going out the door, overhead, overload. And I feel like it also happened at the perfect time, too.
This was mid-pandemic.
This was mid-pandemic. And I was, you know, always like, I feel like it's important to take responsibility even when someone else is in the picture. And I think I put too much emphasis on other people's opinions and decisions about the business because I still wasn't really as connected as a business owner as I thought I was, but I had also not been challenged this deeply.
Yeah.
And one bad decision that someone helped me make and another, or, oh, the upfit of this space, it's not going to be this much. It's going to be this much. And then it's triple what you were told.
Oh my gosh.
Permits. Everything was just falling apart. And I remember I had like a total
meltdown
moment. My anxiety level was through the roof. I literally was like, I need medication. Mm-hmm. Like I was, but you know what? On social media, I'm not going to tell anyone that.
No.
We
got a retail shop. This is so great.
But really I'm losing it and I'm emotionally distraught. I'm like, how am I going to do this? And
not to mention you are a single mom that went
and
through a divorce. Yes. 2-3 years ago?
Three, right around in the middle of the pandemic.
Of course. Yeah.
But I'm so glad it happened. Okay. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, just a lot of pressure on a level that I had never experienced. I mean, we would have gotten a building prior to the pandemic, but when all that happened, we were like, let's just run this out in a safe spot for a little while. Well, then we found this space. It was perfect. It was a perfect space for us. I didn't want to let it go, but I was not equipped to make some of the decisions you just do not consider.
So what did you do?
I started crying out for help from women that I trusted that were female entrepreneurs. Yeah. One in particular, Tiffany Marshburn, has been significant in getting me to this point.
What does she do?
Well, she silent invests in a lot of businesses, but we were friends prior to that.
Yeah.
And we met for drinks one night. And I was like, SOS, I don't know what I'm doing. This is beyond my ability. I am lost. And she's like, okay, let's dial it back. And she started to pose questions to me that no one had ever done before. Think deeper. This moment is not, you don't need to be so anxious in this moment. Take a step back. Take a breather. Think logically. Don't make fear-based decisions.
Oh, that's so good.
And the more I've heard that, fear-based decisions, the more I have realized I have a pattern of making fear-based decisions.
I do as well.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how much it has held me back in life until this year. Mm-hmm. And I go to therapy regularly. So, like, I mean, I'm talking, I was going once a week for like 2 solid years.
Yeah.
But I would have little breakthrough moments, but it wasn't until this last year where I realized my patterns in relationships with men, with friends, with business. A lot of my decisions are based off of fear and worrying about what they think or losing it if I say no, so I'll hold on to it even tighter. Mm. And it doesn't work out. It almost never works out.
I bet so many people can relate to that, listening to just that right there in their own like story of what life has looked like. I think fear-based decision-making maybe it's something that we have a hard time seeing in the moment, but when you can take a step back or have someone that can look at you and say, hey, like, hold on a moment, like, let's break this down. I think that's such a gift to be able to have someone that can do that for you if you can't do it yourself, which a lot of us can't. Like, we can't. I had to have a business coach and a therapist to help me work through some of those things for me that I feel like my unraveling was the beginning of 2018. And then it's been like little mini deeper level unravelings over the last few years. And I think they'll continue to come.
I do too. And because of my total shift, I'm seeing a shift in relationships and even with Eliana, my daughter, and everything that is happening in my life right now is really exciting. It's more challenging than ever, but I feel like I'm making more rational decisions than ever. I'm saying no in a way that I mean I've always wanted to say, but I never had the courage to say because I was so scared of having that
voice. What people would think. So if someone is listening to this and maybe they find themselves like pulled in a direction in their personal life or in their business life where they're not as dialed in and they're making choices based on the outside chatter of people telling them like, this is what you should do, or you should try doing this. Do you have any advice for them to be better about whether it's boundaries or the path that they're getting to, like whether it's a yes or a no for them?
I mean, yes, what you're just saying. I mean, you have – I'm setting boundaries in a way that I never have before. And I'm seeing the benefit of it in every single aspect of my life. And I'm listening to my gut in a way that I never trusted before. I knew – it was always there. I always had a very strong intuition. And it ends up turning out the way it was supposed to all along. But sometimes that – that lesson is harder than it should be, and it has continued to be harder for me up until now. Now I'm like decisive. Now I'm like, I see things. I'm actually more excited for this direction because it doesn't feel as difficult. Because I'm like, no, I already said no. The answer was no, so I meant it. So let's move on to this now. And it can, maybe I need to work on how excited I am to say no for the first time.
No, you don't. No.
No, you don't. But there's a pendulum swing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you go too far on that no side, someone's got to knock you back somewhere in the middle.
It's
so
true.
It is true. And I say that kind of jokingly, but it is empowering once you get to a place of comfortability within yourself where you're like, I don't need to – I'm not apologizing anymore. You know, I realized, too, I used to say I'm sorry all the time.
Me too.
Text messages too. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I've been busy all day. And now
I catch myself in that as well. Yes.
Try dating when you're 40 something. Actually don't. You have a great husband. But I'm just saying, like, I realized for so long I would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been da da da. And I'm like, I don't owe an apology for the fact that I'm
busy
and doing what I love.
Or I don't want to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was. Can I go a little bit deeper in
please.
This? I was dating a guy who is has a very demanding career, and he kept saying, I'm sorry to you. And I eventually just said, you've chosen something that you are passionate about and you love, and you continue to apologize to me, and I'm not pressuring you to get back to me right away. Don't apologize to me. And he was like, you're the first person to ever say that to me. And I said, I bet you say that to your daughters all the time too. And he was like, I do.
Yeah.
And I said, stop apologizing to them and say, I've chosen this lifestyle and what I do as a profession, and I love it. It's going to take some time away from you, but I love what I do. And see your daughter's attitudes change.
Yeah. And I love you too. Like, it's not one or the other, but yeah.
But it was like a pattern that I picked up on. And I was like, I see it now in other people. And I'm like, you're going to make yourself more anxious by apologizing all the time.
I want to go back to something you said about the gut. Like, you're listening to your gut. I've been processing this a fair amount lately you know, and it's public on my podcast, but I sold my planning business that I had for 12 years. And that was one of those things that I knew it was the right thing for me, but I worried about how it would be viewed by other people in the industry. Like, would I still be relevant? What would I be known for? And old Megan would have held on to it for the fact that I needed, I needed that protection. I needed that approval from others. And there's something so powerful about saying, like, no, I know this is the right thing for me, and it doesn't really matter what other people think.
That is, I hold on to things until they are just ripping out from my hands. And I am still work in progress with that.
Same.
Because I definitely know it doesn't serve me. I do struggle with that. I struggle with wanting people to believe, you know, I'm also open. I guess I should say this too. I'm also open, and I have been on social media as well, that like life is not what we all try to make it out to be on social media. And anyone who's close to me knows I have no problem showing my flaws. But I do have a problem, or have had in the past, letting go of things, fully letting go and moving on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Me neither. But there's no instruction manual.
I am getting to a point where I have been practicing actually fully letting go of things. The more I practice it, the easier it becomes. And I do, like, same with you. Like, if that's something that you've struggled with in the past, and then this is a huge move that you've made, I could see where you're, like, the whispers, worrying. Like,
what do people think?
What do people think?
I think it's that the whispers and the outside chatter can get really noisy and can fill your head. But what you said about listening to your gut, it's always there. Like, there's that inner voice that can be so calming and can be so reassuring and can is telling you, like, hey, this is where we need to go. But we drown out that voice seeking outside opinions and outside confirmation that we're doing the right thing. So we're like, is it, you think this is what I should be doing? Okay, then I should do this. And you don't hear that voice because you just turn down the volume on it.
That's so true.
And I think what part of the unraveling is turning up the volume on your inner, like that inner voice, that gut, that instinct that knows, like, this is what I need right now. And it really doesn't matter what this other person thinks of me, because at the end of the day, like, gosh, life is short.
And they're going to talk about it regardless,
100%.
Whether it's good or bad.
That's the thing that I learned from the pandemic, is I have zero control over what other people think or do. All I can control, and I've worked through this in therapy, is my own actions and my own beliefs and the way that I show up in the world.
And once you made that decision, it was still terrifying, and it probably still feels a little terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
But you're moving into, like, another layer of the business, though.
Right.
That's basically what you're doing. And that's something, you know, I told myself this first year in this new business, at this new building, I was going to totally immerse myself into it and be there every day. And I'm almost relearning the business and pivoting in different directions than I thought that I ever would.
Yeah.
But I also know that layer of the business is not where I want to sit forever.
Yeah, there's future growth.
There's future goals, and there's future direction that I know that is tapping me on the shoulder already. There's whispers that are happening, but I know where I'm supposed to be today, but I know where I'm going.
Here's a question. Let's imagine that we have a time machine and we can go back to any year of Slice, any year. So we could go back to 2014. We could go back to 2018. We could go back to 2020, 2021. And you could make one small change differently. Is there something that stands out that you might go back and do differently, or something that you might go and tell that version of Kristen? So this Kristen sitting right here in front of me gets to go back and be like, hey, listen. Here's what I want you to know.
I don't know if I would change anything, because of all the moments where I did make mistakes, it's brought me to this point. From a starting a business perspective, though, you always hear people say time and time again, make sure you know your numbers. Oh, make sure you understand. Make sure you get a good bookkeeper and CPA.
Yes.
And I know, as boring as that sounds.
So true.
It is so true, because I am one of those like dreamers and like, I'm going to start a fine company. I'm just like,
it's going to be great. And people will pay me for doing what I love.
And I'm going to sell t-shirts
and that have money will come.
Yes. All the things. All the things. But I should have started with, so here's how you file for this. Mm-hmm. Here, oh, you're going to have food and beverage tax. I mean, so when it comes down to it, I mean, it's probably embarrassing for me to say this, but I'm sure somebody's going to relate to this.
Yes.
I didn't understand in the beginning something as simple as how much does one pie cost?
Yeah.
Okay. So you wrap in all the ingredients, but what about the pie tin? What about the press that you bought for
it?
Box that it goes in? What about the labor of the person who's going to be baking that pie? How much are you paying them an hour?
Right.
I did not fully understand that until much later.
Yeah.
I was fortunate that we didn't need to worry over it. But now I'm like, wow, you really need someone with a business mentality. Okay, great. You're a dreamer. You have this big idea. Mm-hmm. There's so many places you can go to get free advice. Even YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, let's do TikTok.
Yeah.
So there's things that from that point I would have changed for sure.
I think I want to highlight that because I used to really shame myself about my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. And it just, I made myself feel so inadequate.
Yes.
And really in the last couple of years, just I would say during the pandemic too, it's been so refreshing to know that it's okay to be a dreamer and see the big picture, be the visionary for your business and know your weaknesses, like acknowledge them, which is what you and I probably didn't do early on. We're like, I'm not good with numbers. Like other people know numbers. But own that that is a weakness, and there are people that you can have on your team, like a bookkeeper or a CPA. Like, you don't have to know all those things as long as you acknowledge these are the weaknesses that I need to have someone sitting at the table that can help me understand it. You can't have head in the sand, which is what I did.
Yeah.
I for years as a business owner, and this is also embarrassing, I wouldn't even look at our bank account. I couldn't.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like you're a mirror of.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You wanted to avoid it.
I didn't want to look. It was literally like I would ask Jason, my husband, who did not get paid to be the CFO. He didn't get paid anything. But I was like, is a bank account okay?
That was me to a T.
But that was all I wanted to know.
Yeah. I'd still have a hard time looking because I'm like, look at all that money coming in and money going out.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know. Just the other day, someone said something about my prices, and I'm thinking, you have no idea as a small business owner. I am not doing this right now because I'm loaded.
No.
I'm doing this right now because I have no other choice.
Right. I remember you posting something in the last, like, 6 months on social media about the cost of just the sign outside of your new building
that I had no idea was going to cost as much as it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember getting estimates for this tiny sign and I'm thinking, you know, maybe $10,000.
Oh my gosh. And
for a sign for people to notice me.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane the amount of money that is going out the door from the stickers to any sort of marketing pieces. Like,
and that's what I want someone listening to this, like another highlight, is that you are a successful business owner.
I still see it as a success.
You are successful. I'm a successful business owner.
Yeah.
But I like wearing I didn't like this before, but I like wearing the flaws. Like, I like wearing them yes. openly and saying, hey, you know what I'm really, really good at? I'm really good at building relationships. I'm really good at reading people. I'm really good at seeing the big picture in a business and mm-hmm. helping coach someone to see that too and get over some of those hurdles. But you know what I'm not good at? I'm not good at like the minute tasks and like the bookkeeping side of things. And I have some mental blocks as it relates to like certain areas of my business, but I'm going to find people that can help me move past them, that it's their superpower and not mine.
It's so true.
I mean, feel so good to not have to be good at everything.
In the beginning, you feel like you have to mm-hmm. wear all the hats.
Yeah.
And in some ways you do.
You do.
But then you start to see where you're falling short mm-hmm. and then you start to make fear-based decisions
yes.
and then you start to avoid. And then I started to pick up on those patterns of myself and how I would start to avoid specific things.
Same. Yeah.
And then you just kind of have to get real with yourself.
Yeah.
And then say, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
It's that SOS, right?
Yes.
Like you went out to drinks with Tiffany. Tiffany?
Yes.
And you acknowledged, this is hard. I don't have it all figured out. And I'm in a place of like, oh my gosh, how do I keep this business going? How do I like make it profitable? How do I get to a place of ownership that, you know, I can see the next level of growth? And I think those conversations and having mentors and having women that you can look up to and you can keep it real with, like mm-hmm. conversations like this, I hope that someone is listening to this either in their car or shower or making dinner or something, and they're like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm not the only one that...
You really just have to be willing to share some vulnerability. Mm-hmm. People want to help. Mm-hmm. They really do. I mean, I cannot tell you how many friends have said, well, do you need me to come put some stickers on boxes? Because I've said, I'm working 60 plus hours a week. I'm da 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 da. People want to help.
Yes.
But I think for a long time, though, I just didn't want anyone to see that.
You wanted them to see the
perception.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've said this many times on the podcast before, but it was like you wanted them to see you floating effortlessly on the pond, that beautiful
yes.
swan, not the like paddling furiously yes. underneath where.
And sometimes you're floating on the pond.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not. Yes. You're just not.
You're covered in muck.
Yes.
Or chocolate chess pie,
yes.
whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah. Flour on my face. I don't even know what I look like right now. I did put on some makeup.
You look great.
Really fast.
You look great. So the unraveling for you, like one of the bigger moments was in the last year or so, like stepping into ownership, your parents are stepping back. Like now you're seeing some of those scary costs and you're realizing like, oh shit, like this is a lot. Where do you go from there? Like, where does the business go from there? Like how do you be the face of the business and the leader to your team? Like, who supports you? Like, how do you,
I've actually gotten to a place for the first time in my life in this past year mm-hmm. where I am completely okay with being alone mm. and in my thoughts and processing through. It's gotten so much deeper than that, to like going and getting advice and finding that circle of people that you trust. I didn't realize how uncomfortable I was in my own skin and in my own thoughts, that I needed distraction around me at all times. And now I realize that was me creating chaos
mm-hmm.
to distract from what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
within myself and the decisions I make and why I make those decisions. I've actually gotten so comfortable with being quiet and just like thinking things through in a way that I never have before.
Wow. That's
so
really cool.
I've fallen almost more in love with myself. I mean, although there's times I can't stand myself too, but
yeah.
I realize now that like my intentions are good. What I'm trying to build is worth something. I'm worth something. I want to be an example for my daughter in a way that I don't think I was up until this kind of unraveling moment for mm-hmm. me. And I still am a work in progress, but I'm more honest with myself now. I'm more self-aware for sure about where I'm falling short, mm-hmm. trying to find that pattern of why I continue to make those same decisions. Mm-hmm. But right now it's weird. It's like I'm coming to a place and I can feel it. It's almost like I'm so close to touching it, but I'm not there yet. Ooh. Where I feel like everything's about to fall into place. As things continue to feel like they're falling apart, I still feel like I am onto something big.
Gosh, I love that.
Even if it's just me improving as an individual, I feel like the more punches that hit me left and right. I mean, so many things have happened in my life too. My brother recently mm-hmm. passed away. So it's weird how if the listener knew me on a personal level, like you do mm-hmm. know some things and what has happened personally on top of, you know, a marriage that ended in the last couple of years, my brother passing away, all these pieces that I felt like at times I was falling apart. I feel like I'm actually coming together mm. into a place that I never was. And now I'm like on that path of where I was supposed to be, mm-hmm. but just didn't trust my gut the way I do now.
Yeah. Wow, that's so powerful.
Is it?
It really is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I mean, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, I think it's that believing in yourself, right? It's kind of shifting that maybe that inner critic more into, it's funny, I can't take credit for this, but my girls in elementary school right now, they're doing the work that we are doing.
I know.
In our late 30s and early
40s. What is wrong with the way we were raised back then?
I know. They're coming home.
Something happened to us.
Yeah. They're coming home with paperwork that's like your inner critic versus your inner coach. And I'm like, yes, I love that you're doing that at 7 years old.
I feel like I'm having these therapy conversations with my 11-year-old. And I'm like having aha Oprah moments with her. And I'm like, I actually do get to take some credit for that because I'm clearly working on myself.
You're doing the work.
I'm doing the work. Like the way I pose questions to her too, I'm like, God, I feel like I'm a therapist mm-hmm. now. So, I mean, but yes, at school.
And
it's so much deeper emotionally than it ever. I don't even remember having an emotional conversation at school.
We didn't. We were focusing on multiplication and whatever other things. But yeah, I think the work is shifting that voice of like, I'm not good enough. I don't know what comes next. I need someone else to tell me. I need this external validation. It's that inner confidence of like, no, like I'm cool. Like we're me. Like mm-hmm. it's me and myself.
Well, I also think when we were growing up too, I feel like it's shifting in a way that like there is no end all be all of ultimate happiness. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have this type of education. You don't have to, there is no like path that everyone has to go down where I feel like when we were growing up,
oh, yeah.
It was ingrained in us.
We were, and especially women, I believe.
Yes.
It was, there was a path that we were supposed to take. There was people pleasing. We needed to be nice. We needed to be pretty. We needed to fit the mold of whatever was expected of us.
You had to look like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah. And then you went to college and you got married.
You got engaged. You got married.
You had kids.
You had kids.
Yeah.
And yes. You were, you know, you had to do it down that path. And like, had someone said to me at a young age, I really, really was a terrible student. Mm-hmm. I sometimes look back and go, how did I even pass that class? Mm-hmm. Now as I'm getting older, I realize how bad my ADD is, but mm-hmm. I also thrive from it. Mm-hmm. But it felt like something that was hindering me my entire life because it was different. I learned differently. Mm-hmm. I got excited about things that I wasn't supposed to. Mm-hmm. And not that my parents, it was more society driven.
Yeah.
And had someone said to me, school's not your thing, or let's let you learn in the way that you learn best.
Yeah.
I would have done, I mean, I would have really thrived. Right. I would have done so many different things with my life.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to minimize myself. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was only you're only supposed to be this. You're only supposed to do that. And so those were
this
the steps.
This is what success looks like.
This is what. And then guess what? I wasn't happy.
No.
And yeah. And then that's why it took me time to get to that place of that little tap. Maybe it was screaming at me, but mm-hmm. I wasn't going to let it, you know, get me. No, I'm not going to start a business. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go do yoga every day. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, like, I had this schedule of, like, very easygoing. Mm-hmm. Don't press too hard.
This is what people will see, and they will be impressed by this job that I have and this husband that I have and this life that I've created.
And I was miserable. Mm-hmm. So, like, had someone told me early on, like, let's let you learn this way. You're mm-hmm. really good at this. Let's focus on that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of things that, you know, with Eliana, I'm trying to do with her differently.
Yeah.
Which might not go well over well with other people, but
again,
she's happy
and you're tuning into what your daughter needs and what you need and who
I'm
you are
projecting
versus
a little bit too. No. Go against the grain, kid.
You're creating the space for her to be who she is, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we're wrapping up this conversation, you know, we talked about the fact that the whole point of the unraveling is letting go of things that no longer serve you, whether that's personally or professionally. And I'm curious, because you went through a divorce and maybe that was a relationship that was holding you back and it kind of unlocked some doors for you to getting to where you are now. What might you say to someone that finds themselves in that spot? Whether it's that it's time for them to let go of something that no longer serves them.
Well, I definitely in the past have held on, like I said, to things that just were not serving me anymore. They weren't a part of the direction that I was going. And there was a lot of guilt. There was a lot of time spent trying to hold on to it. And like I said, I have a history of holding on to things that are just screaming to let go. Mm-hmm. And when I finally could look myself in the mirror and say, you are the only one holding on, what are you holding on for? It was one of those moments where I had to be real with myself. And you can love someone from a distance. I will love him for forever, but I need to love him from a distance. Mm-hmm. And there are pieces that you can still carry with you, but they don't have to be so significant, and they help you get to the place that you're trying to go to. And sometimes they don't serve you anymore. Sometimes you do need to fully let go of things, but all of those things that came into your life when they did, it's okay to not keep them so close, mm-hmm. but there is a reason why they were there. And, you know, if it weren't for that marriage, I wouldn't have the biggest love of my life, which is Eliana. Mm-hmm. And she's my greatest invention. She's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So everything serves a purpose. But it doesn't mean, you know, as we grew up, we were told you fight for your marriage. You fight for staying in it. And that's the hardest part. Sometimes the hardest piece is letting it go. Mm. It just depends on the person, really. And we grew away from each other.
Yeah.
And we were growing in different directions, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because really the goal should not be to always stay together. It should be to be individually happy. Because if you're individually happy, you will find other pieces will mm-hmm. come to you because you let go of certain things.
I think that's powerful from a relationship standpoint. And I also think it can be applied to a business partnership or
absolutely.
A service offering or a direction that you've taken your business in. Maybe you pivoted during the pandemic and you launched this whole other thing I'm not speaking to me. I love my other thing. I just realized, I was like, I feel like I'm teeing this up in a way that I don't want to take it. But perhaps you have found yourself going down a path that you're like, this doesn't feel good. This is no longer serving me.
And I would stick in it too, even when it didn't feel good.
And you don't have to do that.
I don't have to. No one should have to do that. There's no path to ultimate happiness. I say this over and over and over again with Eliana. Mm-hmm. You don't have to follow the same path as everyone else, mm-hmm. or the same path as your buddy that's going that direction. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have to follow. So, I mean, I think had I learned that at a much younger age, and almost, for instance, this is kind of backtracking a little bit, but I was at my daughter's orientation where she's about to go to school. Mm-hmm. And one of the most poignant things that the principal said was, this is going to be the most challenging point of their education so far. And she said, we want to teach them how to fail now, because it will be less likely for them to fail as adults. Yeah. We want to challenge them in a way that they feel like they're falling.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to let them, but we want them to feel that kind of pressure now, so that as they get older, they can learn from it. And it doesn't feel so scary to go in directions that no one else is going in, yeah. or what feels uncomfortable. Go in that direction. If it doesn't work out, you're not really failing. You just are going to pause, and then another path is going to open up.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, I loved everything about this conversation. There were so many good nuggets. It's hard to even, I mean, I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to this, but I feel like we touched on so many like vulnerable points as entrepreneurs, as women, as moms. Like there's a lot of goodness in here. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Now, if someone is listening to this and has a follow-up question or wants to reach out and, you know, connect with you, or maybe they want to order a pie, where could they do that? Where could they connect with you directly?
Well, I won't let go of all my social media. So any DM is going to go straight to me at Slice Pie Company. So whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Slice Pie Company, it goes to me.
Love it.
So.
And I have to.
I just gave away my secret, though.
What's that?
It's me.
Oh.
It's not some big social media team.
Not yet. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing your vulnerability. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your pies. I'm sitting here looking at these four beautiful pies that they will be long gone by the time this episode goes live.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. As Kristen mentioned, head to slicepiecompany.com or follow her on social at @slicepiecompany. And for more unraveling episodes, check out 156, where I share my own unraveling, 157 with Adriana McDermott, 161 with Alea Harris, 177 with Sarah Margulis, 184 with Andrea Ippolito, and 188 with Ashlyn Carter. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. And if you want to share your own unraveling, I want to hear from you. Come join us by visiting the Weddings for Real Facebook group, see the link in the show notes, or feel free to share this episode on Instagram and tag us. We're at Weddings for Real. This podcast is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.